ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ All together, please. Om Jnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshuram Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bevacha Paditanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So, reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, translation and commentary, Srila Prabhupada. Today's verse is in the fourth chapter, Knowledge, Transcendental Knowledge, and I believe it is the famous verse. They're all famous, of course. Number 13. Please repeat. Chaturvanyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tasya Kataram Api Mam Vidhi Akataram Avyayam Chaturvanyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tasya Kataram Apimam Kataram Vidhi Akataram Avyayam Chaturvanyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tasya Kataram Apimam Vidhi Akataram Avyayam Chaturvanyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tasya Kataram Apimam Vidhi Akataram Avyayam Okay. Chaturvanam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah Chaturvanyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kataram apimam vidya kataram avyayam chaturvanyam maya srishtam Una karma vibhagasha. Jasya kataram apimam. Vidya kataram avyayam. Chaturvanam maya shristam. Guna karma vibhagasha. Jasya kataram apimam. Vidya kataram avyayam. Chaturvanyam maya shristam. Guna karma vibhagasha. Jasya kataram apimam. Vidya kataram avyayam. Okay, please repeat. Chaturvarnyam, the four divisions of human society. Maya, by me. Shristam, created. Guna, of quality. Karma, and work. Vibhagasha, in terms of division. Tasya, of that. Kataram, the father. Api, although. Mam, me. Vidi, you may know. Akataram, as the non-doer. Avyayam, unchangeable. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Please repeat. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is the creator of everything. Everything is born of Him, everything is sustained by Him, and everything after annihilation rests in Him. He is therefore the creator of the four divisions of the social order, beginning with the intelligent class of men, technically called Brahmanas, due to their being situated in the mode of goodness. Next is the administrative class, technically called Kshatriyas, due to their being situated in the mode of passion. The mercantile men, called the Vaishyas, are situated in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And the Shudras, or labor class, are situated in the ignorant mode of material nature. In spite of His creating the four divisions of human society, Lord Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions, because He is not one of the conditioned souls, a section of whom form human society. Human society is similar to any other animal society. But to elevate men from the animal status, the above-mentioned divisions are created by the Lord for the systematic development of Krishna consciousness. The tendency of a particular man toward work is determined by the modes of material nature which he has acquired. Such symptoms of life, according to the different modes of material nature, are described in the 18th chapter of this book. A person in Krishna consciousness, however, is above even the Brahmanas. although Brahmanas by quality are supposed to know about Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth, most of them approach only the impersonal Brahman manifestation of Lord Krishna. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a Brahmana and reaches the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, becomes a person in Krishna consciousness, or, in other words, a Vaishnav, a Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness includes knowledge of all different plenary expansions of Krishna, namely Ram, Nrisinga, Varaha, etc. And as Krishna is transcendental to this system of the four divisions of human society, a person in Krishna consciousness is also transcendental to all divisions of human society. Whether we consider the divisions of community, nation, or species. Yes. So, Mukam Karochi Vachalam Pangam Laite Grim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Chaturvarnam Maya Sristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha Tasya Kataram Apimam Vidhi Akataram Avyayam. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Yes. So, Krishna is pointing out that though he is appearing on this earthly platform, in this case on the battlefield of Kurukshetra in the middle of two armies, Arjuna, and thereby we, should not think that he is a mundane person conditioned by the modes. That is, throughout the Bhagavad Gita we'll find that, right? In the third chapter, Krishna was saying many things like that, that I am above. What is that verse? Manushanam Shahasrisha. That many people, they mistake him. They don't understand his higher nature, which is transcendental. Though he comes in this material world, and in his Vasudeva feature here on the battlefield, he acts like an ordinary human. This is to lead people on the right path. And in this verse, there is that chapter, there is this famous verse that whatever a great man does, common men follow. So Krishna appears not as a big blazing light out of the sky saying, I'm God, do what I say. He comes and acts like an ordinary human being, so to speak, to illustrate how the conditioned souls should behave. But here he's revealing to his intimate devotee that just because I'm acting in this way, giving a good example, don't think. And all the people who study the Bhagavad Gita for thousands of years afterward, don't think that I am also a mundane person. Because the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedas, ultimately, they are aimed at presenting who is that cause of all causes, who is the Supreme Lord. So that is a special understanding for bhaktas. But the general mass of people, and we have read from acharyas that even when Krishna was on the planet, there weren't that many people who understood him as the Supreme Lord. There were the Pandavas, of course, Mother Kunti, Uddhava, various residents here and there. And then even in Vrindavan, until he lifted Govardhan Hill, they were just thinking he's the local hero, the Nayaka. Yeah. So, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he and the six Goswamis, they through the particularly Jiva Goswami, but all the Goswamis, but particularly Jiva Goswami in the Satsandarbhas, he takes all sorts of verses and he establishes Krishna as the Supreme Lord, even though only a few hundred at the time of Krishna really understood that. So of course, bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas tatmi tatpataha. So that is that understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, that is a special benediction for the bhakta. So this is a point that Krishna is establishing here. Though I'm creating this material layout, the four divisions of human society, I am not part of this material world. In the same way that, you know, a politician, they may establish communism or globalism or capitalism. I am not one of these material people that comes along and establishes some philosophical system, democracy or socialism or whatever ism, because they have some perspective in the material world, some goal they want to fulfill. No, this is the absolute arrangement of human society. So in that sense, Varnashram is already in human society, even now, because it's being created by Krishna. It's not a new idea, but it's always there. And because it's the Supreme Lord's arrangement for the conditioned souls particularly. And in Kali Yuga, the Mahabharata particularly, the fifth Veda, puts all the Vedic knowledge, and particularly Varnashram, into practical stories. It's also there in the Ramayana, we can say, and particularly also even in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all an exposition. One aspect, of course, is the description, elucidation of Varnashram. There's no doubt about that. So, that is there, but the problem is, I mean, at this time, and in other yugas even, but it is not being recognized in a scientific way. We see in general human society that yes, there are always the intellectual class, there are always those that want to be they have Ishwara Bhav, they want to be the leader and controller and regulator of society, the political class, the martial class, they come into this. Problem in Kali Yuga is that many of these Kshatriyas are actually using their leading ability and their energy to exploit the people. But actually they should protect the people. And then you will always have the mercantile class, as Prabhupada says, Krishi go raksha varnijam. They're meant to look after the land, look after the cow particularly, and varnijam, perform business dealings. So they are always there. And then you always have the Shudra class. That people who are not particularly intellectual, that's not a reason to denigrate them, but they just want to serve nicely, get a good salary or a good income or a good protection, and bring up the wife and kids and take everything nicely. And they don't really want to be a big political leader, they don't want to do business, they may not have the acumen to do business, They may not want to be Brahmins, but they may want to hear the discourses of the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins. They may take knowledge in that way. So Prabhupada and Acharyas have explained that this is like the head, arms, the torso and the legs. The Brahmins are compared to the head. They usually have speaking ability, intellectual thinking ability. They supply vision to the body. So the good Brahmin class, the realized Vaishnavas, they supply vision and instruction and guidance through their work. They're the head of society. And then the Kshatriyas are compared to the arms. The arms, they administrate the body. And they also protect it. If there's a battle or a boxing match or whatever, it's a call to arms, right? We have that expression. It's a call to arms. That means let's have a fight. Arms. Even weapons are called arms, right? In English, there's an armory. That means where weapons are kept. So that is compared to the Kshatriya function. And then the mercantile function. Now, of course, now you're getting into a bigger thing. The arms are bigger than the head, you could say, perhaps. Yes, the head is maybe the smallest part. But then you get into the mercantile function. And just like in the body, there's so many organs processing food and whatever. Productive organs also. So the torso is compared to the vaishyas. And they are meant to look after the land, and the cows particularly. Now, of course, we have a very technologically bent society, but without the land and the cows, and if this technology ever fades away, which it will do, of course, it's just a particular style at the moment. There's been so many in the past. There was the Egyptians, whatever their technology was, that's gone, to build those pyramids. Then there was all, then there was Napoleon, and then there was all these, Alexander the Great, they all fade away. But the land and the cow, if you took away the technology, then everyone would have to get the bulls out to plow the land, and then they would be drinking milk from the cows. So that way, in the human society, the cow is meant to be protected, because the bull is compared to like a father. He plows the land and prepares grain, and you see the bull is so strong. So a bull likes to pull the plow, just like a strong man, he likes to get out and exercise, right? So if a bull isn't pulling a plow, like a strong man likes to use his muscles, he feels good. So the bulls, they like to. And right, what's the point of having big muscles if you can't use them every now and again? So, and then the cow produces more milk than the calf requires, generally speaking. And if you give a cow, not the calf, but the cow or the bull, a bucket of milk, he'll not drink it. Huh? He'll not drink his own milk, the cow, her own milk. So anyway, this is the natural arrangement. The cow and the bull are, and the land, they are very important for human society. In fact, they're essential, right? And then Vanija means Vanija, Vana, the forest and the product of the forest, the minerals, the water and all these things. They can be traded in a decent manner for all the necessities other than milk and grains and so on. And then they have the Shudras, which is the largest part of the body. And they support the rest of the body. So they are essential. Nobody wants a body without legs. Nobody wants a body without arms. And of course, if you've got no torso, you've got a real problem. But the biggest problem is if you have got no head. That's definitely not survivable. So what we have here is a synchrony, a relationship. They're meant to interact nicely, right? And everybody likes to go for a walk, right? You've got the biggest muscles in the leg. If you don't go for a walk every day, Prabhupada used to go for a walk, and he said that walking and massage is keeping him alive, you know, because he had those heart attacks on the way to America. So he said the massage was having a greater effect than he could understand, you know, because he was not in good condition. So therefore everyone can walk and talk and digest and administrate the body. And so human society is meant to be like that, a synchronicity. But one big problem nowadays is the political or the administrative class, the arms, are dominated by the stomach. Right? The politicians, through democracy, need a lot of cash to get elected. So they borrow that money, or they take donation from the mercantile class, the business class, because they've got the money. The Brahmin, the head, generally doesn't, you know, he's more concerned with study of the Shastra and teaching. He's got six activities, the Brahmin: study and teaching of Shastra, study of Yajna, particularly in Kali Yuga, Sankirtan Yajna, and the teaching of Yajna, and then the acceptance of donation and the distribution. So he's not meant to hang on to a big multi-millionaire bank account. He's meant to distribute it into good places. So those six activities are there, but unfortunately the politicians now, once they get elected, they're very much owing to the business class, and then they tend to dominate. So this is like the, if you have the stomach, the saying, hey, I've got you elected, the arms, now you have to feed me. Right? So if you've got no brain, then you'll feed, the arms will feed non-stop. And this is what's going on, is it not? We have developed in human society a kind of overclass that have got literally billions and trillions of dollars. And then you have the workers hired and fired on the street, no security. And the politicians that are just feeding the business class. So the stomach is getting fatter and fatter, and then it is becoming a great burden on the Shudras, because they're not being looked after properly. They're going barefoot. So where's the head? The head are all these nonsense scientists speculating that there was a big bang, or theory of relativity, or what is gravity. They're not studying the Shastra and giving guidance and vision, instruction. They're just sitting in universities speculating, which is useless. You can't find the absolute truth. Jnani Prayashyadam. You can't find the absolute truth by speculation. You have to go to the Shastra. So this is the four divisions of human society. So Prabhupada explained that only 50% of his mission, in one sense, was done. He had established bhakti, But he wanted to establish Varnashram in society. And that means the scientific recognition of the divisions that are already here. We already have the intellectual class, the arms, the Kshatriya type class, we have the Vaishyas and we have the workers. It's already there. It's not going to disappear. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains Kala Yuga Sudra Sambhava. That means everyone is born, but they're born with the quality of Sudras. So, this is an important point. It's not that everyone is a Sudra. There are intellectuals, there are Kshatriya types, there are business types, but they are generally undisciplined in their material activities. They have the quality, and therefore we find the business people taking intoxication and speculating, the Kshatriyas starting war for business profit, dominated by the stomach, and the intellectual class, they're drinking brandy and speculating and smoking pipes. Whereas the Brahmin class should be, we'll get to that in a minute. Well, we'll get to it straight away, actually. If you look in chapter 18, I think it's number 41, Krishna starts to explain the qualities of these four classes. Yes, it gives a general introduction here, Krishna, verse number 41. Yeah. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vishvam. You see that? Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own nature in accordance with the material modes. Right? So we heard that in Prabhupada's purport. If you remember, the Brahmins are in goodness, Kshatriyas, passion, and so on. So this is a general introduction. Now the next verse. Yeah. Wait a minute. What happened? Oh yeah, the next verse. Samo dama damas tapaso cham kashantim arjivamevacha. So peacefulness, samo, that means peaceful of mind. Then dama means self-control. That means self-control of the body. So the Brahman is not meant to be a speculator and indulge in intoxication of various types, but he's meant to be peaceful of mind, as Prabhupada says. He's intelligent because he's in the mode of goodness. That means that if you're in the mode of goodness, you can actually sit down and think things out intelligently. You're not pushed and pulled. So self-control means also he's able to control the pushings of the body, the six urges. Rupa Goswami makes that clear. And then, once he's controlled the body, he's meant to live in an austere fashion. That means simplicity. He doesn't overindulge in the bodily activities, austerity. And then this leads to what? Purity. You can see how it all leads. And then, if he's pure, then he can tolerate. Because he realizes that everyone is the part and parcel of Krishna. They're all covered in a certain way. So they may be friends or enemies, but he tolerates enemies even, or bad conditions, seeing this is Krishna's energy and I should maintain my peaceful self-control. And then once he's tolerant, he can be honest. That means he should speak the truth clearly. And then he should, and this is very important, that I remember in the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, there's 106 sutras, Patanjali Yoga, there's one sutra And it says that if you speak the truth, you will know the truth. So what that means is that if you're a liar or a diplomat and always calculating what to say for your own interest or speculated interest, then your intelligence becomes unclear. If you're projecting illusion, you become subject to illusion. But if you're trying to be honest, then you gain knowledge of reality. And then you get, once you have knowledge, wisdom is applied knowledge, correctly applied. And then you can become dharma, religious, you can realize your own self. So they're the natural qualities of the brahmanas by which the brahmanas work. So it's interesting, Krishna, for the brahmana, stresses the personal qualities in this. He doesn't really say, yajna and teaching yajna and accepting donations. He stresses the personal qualities for a brahmana. And then the next verse is Sorya Tejo Dhuti Draksham, heroism. So this is a Kshatriya. He's not meant to be a diplomat. Well, he should be diplomatic, but what I mean is he's not meant to be sneaky. He's not meant to be a liar and manipulator. He's meant to be a hero. That means a noble person, right? Like Arjuna. He was not being heroic. Krishna was saying, hey, you're being duplicitous. You want to go away, but why? You must do your duty like a hero. And then power. Kshatriya, military people, they have to train very hard and so on, and they have to be powerful. It's not that they should be peaceful and self-controlled, but they should develop strength. And then they should be determined, resourceful. They should be ready to tolerate negative events and be able to come up with a solution. And courage in battle. And also, this is very important, the Kshatriya, he should have a generosity. You know what I mean? His heart should not be mean-spirited, but because he's the leader of society and he will have so much wealth, control over wealth, he should be generous to the people. He shouldn't be sucking the tax money. I mean, I have to say, a couple of weeks ago, I was reading some news and it was about taxation in America. Apparently 59.12%, I don't know where they get the figure, of the taxation money, the income tax, is spent on weaponry. 59% and a little percentage after that. It's incredible. And that America spends more on weaponry, defense, so-called defense, than the rest of all the countries in the world put together. Huh? So the people are wandering around the street without medicine, without dental health and so on, and 59, a gigantic amount, billions and billions of dollars, is spent on war machinery. This is not generosity, you know. And then leadership. And then, of course, if a Kshatriya is known to be generous, then people will follow him. He can be a good leader then, because the people want shelter. So they're natural for the Kshatriya. That means the Vedic Kshatriya, not the sneaky politicians of today. And then, this is the next one, is the Vaishyas and the Shudras. Krishni Goraksha Vanijam, right? Krishni means the land, plowing. Goraksha, looking after the cows. Raksha means protect. Vanijam means a mercantile. Vaishakarma Swabhavajam. Swabhavajam means born out of the qualities. And then paricha yatmakam karma sudrasyapi svabhavajam. That's also born out of there. And for the shudras, there's labor and service to others. So the shudras are meant to serve, find position in the three higher varnas. That means the shudras, some will join the army, some will serve the brahmins, some will serve the vaishyas, and then they should be taken care of, just like a family members. And by serving in that way, just like the legs serve the other three parts of the body, then they can also reach perfection in harmony. Here it is. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear how this can be done. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. And then Krishna explains, it's better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reaction. So Krishna goes on this. And then the next verse, every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. So we all have a nature. Some are brahminically, intellectually inclined. Some want to be the temple president or a big leader in society, or join the army and lead the enlisted men, and some want to do business, and some just want a good job and a secure situation to bring up the family, and so nobody should be exploited and nobody should be denigrated. But swabhavajam is very important. It's born out of your nature. It's not born out of your birth. Guna karma. The corruption of the Vedic system, Prabhupada always pointed out, is it's not guna karma, it's guna janma. This is how the Vedic civilization fell down in progressively in Kali Yuga. Because people were judged not by their work and quality, their guna and karma, they were judged by their birth alone. And there's even, Bhakti Vinod quotes one verse in the Jiva Dharma. He says that I think it's Padma Puran, or is it Garuda Puran? But Bhakti Vinod makes it a big part of Jiva Dharma. There's a verse there in the Shastra, in the Puranas, that say that in Kali Yuga, Rakshasas will be born in Brahmana families to cause the degradation of human society. Because Kali Yuga, there's many Rakshasas trying to destroy the arrangement of Krishna. But that's another point. But the point is, everyone should be judged according to their natural tendency, and they should cultivate the qualities necessary to perform that duty nicely. And by offering that work to the Supreme Lord, performing it in a spirit of devotion, they can all attain perfection. Now sometimes, and Prabhupada touched on it in the purport, if you remember, Prabhupada spoke, he said that the devotee is transcendental to that. So sometimes, a man But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a Brahman and reaches knowledge of the Supreme Lord becomes a person in Krishna consciousness, in other words, a Vaishnav. So, Prabhupada, earlier he said that, a person in Krishna consciousness, however, is above even Brahmanas. Now, sometimes, because of this, people say we don't need Varnashram in ISKCON. Well, this is a bit odd, because we have the ashrams, right? We call people brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas even, and we also have sannyasis. So it's a bit like the logic of half a chicken, right? I like the end of the chicken that gives the egg, but I don't like the part that eats. So people sometimes in ISKCON, they're scared about this varnas. You know, where is varnas? And then they refer to statements by Prabhupada like this, saying we don't need varnas because we're all devotees. Well, that's very good, but here Prabhupada is emphasizing what that devotee is. He's in full realization of Krishna. He's an Uttamadhikari. Now, if we go to the previous chapter, number 3, and we look, then Krishna has something to say on that. Have a look at number 17 in chapter 3. Yes tu atma ratiya swasyat. Right? But for one who takes pleasure in the self, that means he's realized in the Supreme Self, whose human life is one of self-realization, right? So he's a very realized person. He's not a Kanishtha Adhikari, he's not a neophyte. He's transcending the influence of the modes. He's fixed in the Supreme, who is satisfied, yes, in the self alone, fully satiated. For him there is no duty. So this is Krishna's definition of that person that Prabhupada mentioned. That if you're a Vaishnav, and here it is, you're getting your rasa from Krishna directly, and you're self-realized, you're Swarup Siddhi, situated in your spiritual form, and you're satisfied in that, you have no material aspiration, then for him there's no duty. That means there's no karma to perform. But then, what does Krishna say in the next verse? A self-realized man, which he's just described, has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform that work. So we see that with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was Uttamadhikari, no doubt. So much realization, so many books, he was able to speak very beautifully. But still he acted as a sannyasi. He didn't sit under a tree. Nor did the six Goswamis just say, we've realized Krishna, no need to expand the teachings of the Shikshastakam. No need to write Satsandabhas. No need to write Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. No need. I'm just satisfied in myself. No need to give things to human society. So, no purpose to fulfill, nor has he reason not to perform, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. So, like we were explaining earlier, these four parts, four types of the human society, they are meant to interact nicely. The Shudras, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, the Brahmins. But that person who's fully self-realization, in realization, just like Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, he traveled all over the universe to meet great self-realized souls, and one was a python, right? He was sorry, not a python. He was adopting the life of a python. He was just lying there. And Prahlad said, spoke to him. He said, yes, I'm adopting the means of survival of a python. Whatever comes in my mouth, I take it. Prahlad Maharaj said, well, you look very stout. That's part of the Bhagavatam. So it seems a lot is coming there. And then also we have the example of Magrari and the first prostitute that approached Haridas Thakur. They were all supported directly. She became a great devotee. So did Magrari the hunter. They're all by donations. They didn't have to. So they were on this great self-realized platform. But if we are not on that platform, then we should not imitate such elevated personalities. We should understand that we have to engage in fitting work and we have to contribute, right? And then look, and this is the reason that even if you are on that platform, you may work. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activity, one should act as a matter of duty, for by performing work without attachment, one attains the Supreme. So this is another reason. Even if you're on the greatest platform, and this is particularly relevant to Arjuna, still you must perform your duty, Arjuna. Arjuna is a great soul, there's no doubt. But he is being instructed, you have to do your duty. And then, here, this is particularly relevant to Arjuna, because it's a Kshatriya that Krishna talks about. Kings such as Janaka, another Kshatriya, attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Prescribed duties means your karma in Varnashram. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. So, first point is, are we really on the platform by which we can say, I am free of the modes of material nature, and then Varnashram is irrelevant to me? And even if we are on that platform, Krishna is making a point that we have to engage in exemplary activity for the benefit of people. And that is not an obstacle to our self-realization. In fact, that will get the blessing of Krishna. Because Krishna says, one who explains this understanding, his teachings, he's my favorite. And then Krishna makes it even more clear. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. And then the same point that he made in today's verse, there's no work prescribed for me, O Partha, within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, yet I am engaged in prescribed work for this very reason. And then for if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing my prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. So therefore, Krishna is making the point. Of course, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're not criticizing the python. And also Madhavendra Puri, he said, goodbye to my thread, goodbye. Now I'm completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There are no doubt great Paramhansa Udamadikaris who can just, because Madhavendra Puri was the, in one sense, the manifestation of Krishna Prema in our Sampradaya, starting from that point. But still, Krishna is making the point that we must be careful about performing our duties to lead people. And here it is. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. So what does that mean? And then you can study the rest. Of course, Yeah, you see number 30. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, material profit, karma, no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Those persons who execute my duties according to my injunctions and follow this teaching faithfully, without envy, become free of the bondage of fruitful actions. And then, you see 33, even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? So this idea, and this what Arjuna was exemplifying at the beginning, I'm not going to fight Krishna, it's too much of a botheration. I want to go to the forest and chant. No. So we should, yes, Prabhupada says the devotees are above Varnashram, but even if you are on that platform, particularly the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they engage in all sorts of activities, like particularly Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada and our Prabhupada, and even Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote so many books. He practically re-established the pure understanding of Rupa Raghunath. It was all covered by the Sahajiyas when he was there. And so the Vaishnav, even though he's on the platform of complete satiation, as Krishna says, absorption in the Supreme, he acts to lead people on the right path. And so therefore we should not think, oh, I'm a devotee and then Varnashram is irrelevant. Huh? We're saying ashram, but in ISKCON, and this is what Prabhupada meant, where is the Varna? We have our president department, we should call it the Chhatri department. And then we have the treasury department, we should call it the Vaishya department. And looking after the cows, we can sectionize the management in that way. And then we have our manpower department, people coming, they're not trained, not realized in Krishna consciousness, they can be trained. But we don't really have a concentrated, developed brahminical department. So this is the way forward for Krishna. Krishna consciousness for ISKCON, that instead of telling somebody you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, just organize the management in that way and engage people accordingly. And they can move from one department, one activity, Brahminical, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, as they feel more comfortable. And nobody should feel that I am in a lower position, because ultimately it is a matter of devotion. You may be a puffed up Brahmin and you may be a humble Shudra devoted to Krishna. Who is more dear to Krishna? Huh? Yes, of course. So, but if they are actually engaged in Krishna conscious sadhana, as per the Goswamis, Navavida Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam, then they shouldn't be designated as Shudras. They are Vaishnavs. But for the organizational structure of ISKCON, we can organize on that basis. And it will start by using the language. Because ISKCON is not meant to be like the fruit on a cactus. You have seen a cactus? They are very prickly, but then the fruit is just stuck on the side. So Prabhupada's idea is not that Krishna consciousness is some kind of religious idea stuck on the prickly society of Kali Yuga, but rather he wants to create a Vedic society. Right? He wants Krishna consciousness, and this is the prediction of Lord Chaitanya, that in every town and village his name will be chanted. So we should understand that, and you can see that people are taking to Krishna consciousness, right? Mangalarti, I remember when I first came here in the 70s, we used to charge all over the place in the temple room during Mangalarti or Guru Puja. There was nobody here. So now it's packed solid. People are taking to Krishna consciousness. So in the temple, we have to exemplify Varnashram, because we want Vedic society, civilization, as per the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata. But a Vedic society without Varnashram structure developed and scientifically implemented is impossible. Huh? A Vedic society without Varnashram is a contradiction in terms, because a Vedic society means Varnashram. Now, out of the Varnashram, then you will get your Paramahamsas and your Uttamadhikaris. And that is in the teachings of Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, right? You read those. So, it's interesting. Ramananda Roy is Arjuna, and Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. But in that situation, Krishna is taking instruction from Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy is a Shudra by class. Apparently, he was a tax collector, but he was born in a Shudra family. So Lord Chaitanya had him as his instructor. And he asked Ramananda Roy, what is the sadhya and what is the sadhana? That means, what is the goal of human life and what is the means of attaining it? So that conversation is very wonderful. Ramananda Roy starts by saying a number of things, but then he quotes Varnashram, Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam. And then Lord Chaitanya says, well, this is external, go further. So yes, Varnashram is external, but we should not think that I am on the Paramahansa platform and every member of ISKCON is on that Uttamadhikari platform, and we don't need to exemplify. And even if we are, as Krishna has explained, we should exemplify this system. Do you see the point? So then Ramananda Roy, he explained, he said, yad karosi yad anasi yogsta dosi dadasi yat yad tapasyasi kuntaya mad kurusva madapanam. That you should do everything as an offering to me. So that is daiva varnashram. Do you understand? This is the phrase that Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada explained, and he was the greatest Paramahamsa and scholar of all time. He said, varnashram, all the members of that society should not be performing it for material fruit or liberation even, but they should be performing their Varnashram duties as dedication to the Supreme Lord. Then it becomes Daivivarnashram. And then the people in that situation, they will develop a taste for hearing and chanting. And they can progress from that point. So when Lord Chaitanya received that sloka from Ramananda Roy, he said, yes, this is good, but go further. And then eventually, this is the point. So you perform your Varnashram in dedication to Krishna, yad karosi, and then Lord Chaitanya, he quoted that verse from Bhagavatam, from chapter 14 by Lord Brahma, Jnane Prayashinam Upadasya Manta Eva, that Stani Stita, I have to learn that sloka, Stani Stita, that, yes, I've got to get the book out and start memorizing. Yeah. So anyway, the point is that you structure society as Varnashram, but then you make sure that everyone's performing their duties, not for fruitive benefit, as Daivavan Ashram, and then once they're not doing things for fruitive or liberation, Gana and Kyama, then they will enjoy the taste of hearing about Radha and Krishna and all the leelas of Krishna. Then, and then Stanish, you should stay in your position, and Shrutikatam, you should hear the, about the Bhagavad philosophy, you should hear the leela of Krishna, and if you do that, you become liberated, and then jito, yeah, then you conquer Krishna by hearing, you see. So that conversation of Ramananda Roy with Lord Chaitanya should not be misunderstood. When Lord Chaitanya says, yes, Van Ashram, this is external, but he's actually not saying, oh, it's bogus. He's not dismissing it. He's saying, no. Then Ramananda Roy says, yeah, you do your Van Ashram for Krishna, and then you will gain a taste for hearing, and then you'll become a pure bhakta. Because Shravanam, and that is the beginning then, by hearing, of Kirtanam. Kirtanam actually means description. You can describe through sing and dance and music and a discourse on this, Kirtanam. And then what will happen? Smaranam. Then you remember, because whatever you hear and describe, you'll remember it naturally. And then Pada Sevanam. Then you'll develop Seva Bhav. So this is the plan of the Acharyas. And we can divine that from the Shastra, from Ramananda Roy, that everyone, that we should organize society in that way, exemplary. You should not imagine that I'm a Paramahansa because I'm chanting 16 rounds and therefore I don't need the support of Van Ashram. No, what can repression? If you have a propensity to study, do it. If you want to be a manager, do it. If you want to do business, do it. If you want to just serve nicely in the temple, then do that. And do it for Krishna and hear discourses about Krishna, and then you'll get Swarup Siddhi, right? Because you'll hear, then you'll discuss, you'll have Smaranam, you'll get Seva Bhav, and from Seva Bhav you get Bhava, you get real emotional attachment to Krishna. So this is very important to understand this framework and not think, oh, that's just because Prabhupada said in the purport, oh, it's not for devotees. We should understand that devotees, even if they're on the highest platform, they should exemplify in the mood of Lord Chaitanya did. And we are not, at least myself, are on the platform where we can say, I don't need to regulate my activities. I can just lay down on the bank of the Jamuna and wait till somebody puts food in my mouth in the hot season. I'll end up with sunburn and probably heat stroke. Because so we should understand the necessity of the structure of society given by Lord Chaitanya, by Krishna. And this is, and I remember when I was editing Jiva Dharma, everyone should read that book, because generally people think of Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the great Babaji, writing all these extensive Sharanagati, Prarthana, so many bhajans, full of ecstatic devotion. So, but then I saw in his Jiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he is really elucidating and pushing forward the importance of Varnashram. And that was Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada's mood also. So we have to understand the overall structure like that. Varnashram done for Krishna, and then when it's done for Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and then we get remembrance and we get Swarup Siddhi. So, of course, the Sahajiya class, they jump to pure hearing and they imitate the six Goswamis. This was condemned, and you can see, if you understand the underlying structure, you can see how this jumping to an immature platform to an imitation of Paramahamsa life is dangerous. In the Uddhava Gita, it's stated, Krishna says to Uddhava, he says, what is piety? What is impiety? He says that piety is to act in accordance with your nature. Just like Krishna said, in that eight, by following the qualities of your own work, you can reach perfection. So the Brahmin shouldn't be undisciplined like the Shudra, and nor should the Shudra imitate the Brahmin. So that but impiety means to perform activities that are not in accordance with your nature. This is what Uddhava says to Krishna says to Uddhava. So we should act according to our nature, and in that way become elevated. But the real elevation is not to go from Shudra to Vaishya to Kshatriya to Brahman. The real elevation is to go from whatever our material propensities are, is to go to ecstatic devotion. And that is attained from any position in Varnashram. Do you see the point? So therefore, Varnashram, created by Krishna, shouldn't be dismissed just because of a couple of sentences in the purport being misinterpreted. Because Prabhupada wanted Varnashram. Yeah, so we'll open up the... thank you all for listening. Now it's a very good time to say Jai Srila Prabhupada and open up the floor for discussion. Go ahead.
Actually, I was in Mumbai and I was in this class of Indian Bachelor's Prabhupada Sahib. I had 3 days in discussion on this topic of Varnashram. And I realized for the first time I learned about this Varnashram Vyavastha. Actually, Prabhupada meant by this Daya Varnashram, not the ordinary Varnashram.
Yeah.
So what you told just now, he actually wanted this Varnashram Vyavastha to come into existence.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So the Prabhupada's idea was to introduce this Varnashram to the common at large, so that they can move, as you told, first of all to develop this consciousness of Varnashram and then whatever the activity they perform in their material life as an offering to Krishna, and then it will lead to the self-house stage, then hearing quality will develop, and then they will develop this house stage, and then...
Yeah.
This was the actual aim of this Varnashram Vyavastha Prabhupada.
And he was saying the same thing as what we've been trying to describe. Yeah, so I think, as we discussed our Shastra, this is the correct understanding, as I've understood it from Prabhupada.
Everyone can be, beyond this,
Yes, no, we shouldn't imagine that. That's a very...
Written to be a Vaishnava.
Yeah.
So-called Vaishnava or Vaishnava.
But it'll be caught out.
But we are not, beyond this...
Yes, and that's not pleasing to Krishna.
It's not honest, actually.
Yeah, that is honest. So this is a very important point. And then you see, once... Varna, as well as ashram, is the language is adopted in ISKCON, then all those examples of how men and women behave and different activities they perform that are in the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata, they become the standard. You understand? But if we don't adopt the language of Varnashram, and we don't manage according to the language of Varnashram, and we don't develop the different departments according to Varnashram, then that remains theoretical. You understand? So if we adopt those scriptures as the standard, and through the beginning is the language, then it becomes more relevant, more pertinent. You see the point? And if we structure management in that way, then nobody's being called a Sudra this and that. They're all Vaishnavs, but we've structured the management in that way. You understand the point? And Krishna says everyone can become perfect. So, this is a good scheme. And this is what Prabhupada meant when he says, I haven't yet I want to institute Varnashram. He meant it should be exemplified in ISKCON. We have to start with ourselves. How can we preach Varnashram as a system for society if we don't institute it ourselves? Because people need an example. Right? We can't just say, we're devotees, Paramahamsas, and we're above Varna and Ashram, but you should follow it. They say, yeah, but what does it all mean?
Actually, I'm listening nowadays, Bhakti Das Rai Maharaj, his lectures I'm listening nowadays, and in which he mentioned this point, as I just told you. The people want to see some live, you know, some demonstration, live,
yes,
example, because whatever philosophy, yeah, is we study and do, want to see the practical implementation of that particular philosophy.
Exactly, yes.
In the society, because people, yeah, at large, they don't, you know, like to be, you know,
yes,
come to temple and join temple.
And plus the thing is, we're already acting in that way. In the temple we have our Brahmins, the head pujari and the pujaris, and we have our preachers, right? We have our Kshatriya department, they're protecting the temple, right? Security. They're administrating the temple, and they are guiding the temple in that way, and they are guiding the financials of the temple, and we have manpower. So we just have to admit it to ourselves. Yes, we're following it. And this is Krishna's first point. It's already created by me. Like, for instance, in a university, you have your professors and you have your managers and you have your financial department and you have your manpower department. And the professors, they specialize in being professors. They don't try to manage at the same time. They don't try to be a manager and a professor. And the manager doesn't try to be a professor. And the financial department doesn't try to be a professor. They all specialize. So in this way, everyone can feel comfortable. Because if I want to just have a job, then that's fine. If I want to do, if somebody comes to the temple, they say, I like Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and I like chanting Hare Krishna. What have you been doing? Well, I'm a businessman. Okay, then relate to our Vaishya department. We'll show you how to do business for Krishna.
Prabhupada wanted to organize Varnashram, not in the temple, but in five communities.
Yeah.
The community exemplify the life of a village structure.
Yeah.
The temple should be only given for Krishna. The temple should be everything for Krishna. It should be managed by Brahma. Nobody should find joy,
well,
in the temple. And outside the temple, this thing can be organized. Society. Temple is place for bhajan for Krishna.
Yeah, well.
Prasad for everybody. Understand?
Yeah, but.
So, the Prabhupada wanted five communities. In one lecture, the Prabhupada said, I want in Vrindavan seven five communities at least.
I'm not
in
catching.
In one lecture, the Prabhupada said that he wanted in Vrindavan at least seven five communities. Seven.
seven?
Farm communities.
Oh, seven farm communities. I wasn't catching your accent.
And
sorry.
The point is also, you need head. If there is no head, how can the body be organized?
Yeah,
if
well.
If you have only leg, the leg want to jump and come to the place of head. Understand? Everybody want to be in the superior position. The shoulder want to
we were discussing that at the beginning of the lecture. You came halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You can't walk on your head. If you have one leg sticking out of your neck and two heads where your legs are, then you have a problem.
Yes. The person who is in the head, who is Brahminical or is Sannyasi, he should organize the people. It's not the people.
Yeah, but through guide. Yeah.
Not that the guide decides.
Well, actually,
the person should decide.
The organization should be the Kshatriya, but he should take guidance from the Brahmana. You see, that is the system. The Brahmana, he should specialize in yajna, path, dan, and teaching of these things, you see. But he shouldn't try to be the Kshatriya. Of course, there's a crossover in that sense, like Prabhupada. But we see with Prabhupada, he wanted to specialize in translation and preaching, and he gave all the management over to the governing body. That means it's a Kshatriya body. Governing, and even in his will, he said the GBC body is the ultimate managing authority. That means the ultimate Kshatriya body. So we shouldn't wear all hats. We shouldn't try to be Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and then direct the manpower. We should specialize in whatever our propensity is, and become perfect by offering that to Krishna. You're correct. So very important.
Nowadays nobody does something in the temple if you don't receive some payment, almost.
Yes.
It's a big problem.
In the time of Prabhupada there was no salaries, there's no doubt about that. But that's a bigger discussion. But if people feel secure, then they won't need salaries. Perhaps. But if everyone feels secure and welcome, then they won't need to make parachutes, if you know what I mean. So the society should be very welcoming and a safe place for everyone. It shouldn't be a feeling like if I contradict somebody, I'll be thrown out in the street.
Yeah.
You understand? This is very important. That insecurity makes us run to material formula, like saving money and this and that.
Yes.
So,
one moment you can be thrown outside.
Yeah, so we don't. We don't
even
want.
If you have family, nobody will care.
Yeah.
One moment you can be thrown outside. You do a little mistake. Or
yeah.
You are not like with from somebody. Even if you have family, you can be thrown in the street, no problem.
And
then how we can be example to the society?
Yeah, exactly. I agree entirely. The priority has to be the people.
Yes.
Because it's the spirit souls that go back to Godhead, not the buildings.
Yes.
That's cement and brick.
Ah.
So the people don't exist for the project, rather the project is the people. You see my point? We can't put the cart before the horse. Anyway, any other comments? This is a very good discussion I think we had today. I thank you all for your conversation. But this is the way forward for ISKCON. You see, because that's the order of Prabhupada. And we can't convert humanity into a Vedic society unless we exemplify it ourselves. And it starts with two things: using the language of Varnashram and organizing Varnashram, our temples, according to Varnashram.
But there is one department here. They are teaching around for organic farming. But themselves will not do organic farming. But they teach others. Mm. We are not doing, but we are teaching others how to do organic farming. Mm.
Well, example is better than precept, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, you have one final point.
You mentioned this point, we should not try to jump from this position,
artificially.
Intelligence to the, from the inimical position of the Guru Swamis, and we are trying to jump to the conclusion by this position, that position. So this was the risk, this might, could be the risk, we could carry, if we do not follow the Varnasrama Vyavastha.
Yes.
This is the underlying risk which we are carrying if we are not going through this Varnasrama Vyavastha. Because we pretend to be a Vaishnava, but we are actually trying to,
Well, you see, the point I would make is, in all these slokas we read today, Krishna never says that one is better than the other. He says they can all reach perfection. This idea, this classification of high and low, this is something that the conditioned souls have invented. Krishna never said, and we see in Lord Chaitanya, there's Kolishwetra Sridhar, right? He used to make leaf plates. So that is not, but he was a great devotee. So it's this idea that the Brahmin is higher than the Kshatriya, is higher than the Vaishya, is higher than the Sudra. This is largely a concoction of the materially conditioned, because they are always thinking in this envious way. I'm higher and he's lower. You see? But the Vaishnav never thinks like that. The Vaishnav sees everyone as an object of service, because the Vaishnav sees that these people, these spirit souls, are part and parcel of Krishna. And there's verses like that, that he is a true devotee who sees the equality of all beings in their happiness and distress. So that is pure vision, to see that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. But because of past, we all have a different body. But everyone can be perfect.
Just by hearing your lecture, I understood this conclusion. It cannot be just like this, click of a finger. It needs a process, it needs time, certain time,
yes,
period. And then after a stage, you will be in a position to understand the philosophy, to develop the how, to develop and then your relation will be pure to the Lord. Your chanting, your everything will be pure, because you went through a process which nourished you in a way to reach to this level. Not the conclusion, I just came from my house, I become chants on the ground, fall for the person, I become a person.
Because we have to recognize that we have certain propensities, so let's organize on that basis.
Do
you see my point?
This Varnasrama Vyavastha provides an equal platform whereby everyone has got some opportunity, being in the position, not to imitate others.
Yeah.
Being in their very own position, they can try and they can elevate.
Yeah, and you see, we're reading directly from the slokas. So this is also Krishna's idea. Yeah.
Not so easy.
Well,
50 years ago, Prabhupada said, a sinister movement is infiltrated in our discipline. See, 50 years ago, a sinister movement, sinister people with different motivations. Imagine now, after 50 years, So these people, they stop, they check the movement from inside.
Yes, but you see, if we adopt the language of Varnashram, then we bring the examples in the Shastra to bear upon people, so they can't misbehave. Because then the sannyasi has to act like a sannyasi, the grihastha has to act like a grihastha, the shudra has to act like a shudra. The Vaishya has to act in that way, and the Vaishna, the managers have to act in this way. But if we manage with no reference to the verbal or language, no verbal or language reference to the books. Well, that's what I'm saying. So we have to bring, by adopting the language in our society as a management system of the varnas, then we bring all those examples of the Shastra to bear upon our behavior. You see? And then that, but there will always be inebrieties, but if we use the Vedic language and we structure our society according to the Vedas, then these inebrieties can be regulated more easily. Do you see my point?
Yeah. For me, only point is argumentum vacuum is
left. Huh?
At this point, only argumentum vacuum is left.
What does that mean? Argumentum baculum. Okay. Well, it's nice to finish on a happy point. Well, that's the business of the Kshatriya. Like, for example, we're hearing about a lot of the children were, you know, mistreated. It's terrible, shocking. So those people, they should be chastised, yes, and excluded. Because yes, if the children aren't safe, who is safe? Right? The children are the future. So we have to, in society, children, women, elders, and then the normal men, that's the importance. Women, children are the first to be protected, then women, then the elders, and then the general body. The children are the most important to be protected. And if somebody has mistreated children, then they should step down. They shouldn't be given any position ever again in the society. I mean, that happens in the material world. If a politician is misbehaving, he's out.
He's not out. Berlusconi is always...
Yeah, so we have to... The leaders have to be exemplary and known to be exemplary. And then the followers will have faith.